morning, everybody. I want to read from John 13, 1 to 17. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hand, that it had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garment and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them."
Sorry, beam me up, Scotty. I'm technically disadvantaged. All right, thank you. Okay, is that better? You can hear me now. Okay, I just want to pray before I share a few thoughts on this passage of Scripture. Yeah. Thank you, dear Lord, for your presence among us this morning. Thank you that you're ever with your people, wherever we are. Thank you, there's no place on earth we can go where you aren't. Thank you, you're everywhere. Lord, you're ahead of us, behind us, underneath us are the everlasting arms, and above us is the vault of heaven, your throne. Lord, we thank you so much for all you've done for us. And Lord, we pray now that your Holy Spirit would just help us to understand better who you are and what you have done, Lord, to rescue us from sin and deliver us into your own safekeeping. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. Yeah, here's a wonderful passage of Scripture. Jesus, a little while before his sufferings, knowing what was ahead of him, he knew everything. He knew why he'd come into the world. It was no accident. The cross was no accident. Jesus was born crucified. He was born crucified. He knew before the world began what was going to happen, and yet he still came. This is the wonder of him. You know, there's some people, prophets, who God sent hundreds of years before Jesus came into the world. They said this of him, Zechariah. If you want to jot these references down for the sake of time, please do. Okay, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Behold, your king is coming unto you, meek and riding on a donkey. And Jesus did that. He absolutely did that. Came into the world. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords for all eternity. He never had a beginning. He will never have an end. He's the A and the Z, first and the last. Before all things and after all things, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if we belong to Jesus today, our life is safe with him. Your life is hid with Christ in God, in the inaccessibly safe place. We heard God speak to us earlier through a prophecy. I have a place for you that is safe. Place where you belong. Who of us doesn't want to be in a place where we're safe and where we belong? Yeah. On Tuesdays there are people among us here who go on the streets of Liverpool, and we meet homeless people who have no place to go at night. They have no safe place. So we share the love of Jesus with them. There are people here who go every week. I don't go every week, but there are people here who go every week to share the love of Jesus with the precious men and women on the streets of Liverpool who have no safe place. And we share the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the message of Jesus with them as well. And Jesus came into the world to call you and me to himself. Call us by name. Have you heard him calling your name? Have you heard the name? Have you heard the lovely voice of Jesus saying, yeah, I want you to come to me. I want you to come into my loving arms and I will hold you there safe forever and ever. Amen. Glory. And Zechariah said that. He said, behold, your king is coming to you, but he's meek. That is strength held in reserve. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength held in reserve. And Jesus held his strength in reserve. A mob came to arrest him in a place called Gethsemane, a garden of olive trees, and he could have wiped them out with a word. And his disciples actually tried to wipe them out, but they failed. And Jesus said, put your swords away. The cup the Father has given me, shall I not drink it? And of course the cup was the blessed cross that he was about to endure for your sake and for mine. And Zechariah also said in Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 3, this is hundreds of years before Jesus came. He said, he shall sit upon his throne and be a priest upon his throne. Now what does a priest do? A priest stands between man and God and offers a sacrifice of sins. That's right from the beginning of the Bible. That's what happened. And Jesus came and offered himself a sacrifice for your sins and for mine, that we might have a place with God. He came, the Lamb of God, to take away our sins, to take away the thing that kept us back from God, the wall that separated us from God. I remember, you know, I went to church for years, and I didn't know that Jesus came to take away my sins personally. And I just knew that there was a kind of huge wall between me and God, and he was up there somewhere, and this wall was between me and him, and there was no way I could get over it. And one day in Manchester, down the road, somebody shared with me this wonderful news that Jesus died for my sins. He was calling me by name, Peter, come and give your life to me, repent of your sins, and I will come and cleanse you from your sins, and I will give you new life. And I did that. I just knelt down and prayed, Jesus, please come into my life. I'm really sorry for my sins. Please take them all away and come and fill my life. And Jesus Christ himself came and did that for me. Hallelujah. And there's dozens of people in this room who can say exactly the same thing. Jesus himself, who died on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago, can come into our lives and revolutionize our lives by the power of his Holy Spirit, as soon as we open our hearts to him. So here Jesus was with his disciples, but he wasn't thinking about the cross. He was with his own, okay? Having loved his own, 13 and verse 1, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end, right down to the end. His eyes weren't on himself, his eyes were on those who were his own. Just a little before that, in John chapter 10 and verse 4, Jesus said of himself, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. And the shepherd puts forth his own sheep. Do you know this morning that you are his own? Do you know that you belong to him with an absolutely unbreakable bond that depends on God and not on you? The bond of God's promise that when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, the covenant-keeping God, the God who keeps covenant, the God who keeps his promises, the God who cannot lie, comes into our lives and he says, I will shield you eternally. Eternally, that's a long time, isn't it? Eternally. I will shield you eternally. In this life too, he will be your sun. He will shine his light into your heart and he will be your shield. He will guard you and keep you from the evil one. And so here he was, he loved them to the end. Now, here he shows his love, he demonstrates his love by washing their feet. Now this is a very strange thing because kings don't normally wash their subjects' feet, do they? It's the other way around. In Asia where we live, you know, if you show the head is high, the foot is low. And if you show the sole of your foot to somebody, you're giving them a gross insult. So you don't do that. You have to sit on the floor and sit cross-legged, which I could never do, so it was a real problem for me not to keep insulting people by stretching my leg out and showing me. Anyway, and then I get cramp and I do it with the other leg, but the tie are very forgiving. Anyway, that's... So, and, you know, they have words in their language. Dul Bongkum in Khmer is a very old word that comes from Sanskrit, and it means, I am the dust under your feet. So that you speak that to the king. That's a word you speak to the king. And it's a word they speak to God. I am the dust under your feet. So, but here's the king coming and washing his disciples' feet. Wow, amazing love. We sang it earlier. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, wouldst die for me? How can this... And here he is. He comes. Okay, goes and... gets a bowl of water and he washes the first disciple's feet, takes that water away, that's what the Greek says, takes it away, gets some fresh water and comes to the next disciple. It's always fresh. What Jesus does with you and me is always fresh. Hallelujah. He doesn't use stale water, he doesn't use stale stuff. Everything he does in our lives is fresh, day by day. Isn't that wonderful? He gives us fresh bread to eat, day by day. You know, there's a king... who got captured, who was king of Israel, and because of their unfaithfulness, they lost their land. He was taken into captivity. Lots of things happened, but in the end it says, he sat at the king of Babylon's table, and the king of Babylon gave him a portion to eat every day of his life. And our king is far greater than that, and he has a portion for you and for me every day of our lives to give us something special directly from him, that is personal and precious and comes from heaven into our hearts. Glory to his wonderful name. And here Jesus brings fresh water to Peter. And Peter says, what are you doing, Lord? And of course the disciples, they were all looking on, gobsmacked, weren't they? But because none of them were willing to humble themselves to do the job for the rest and to wash the Lord's feet, which is what they should have been doing, of course. So the Lord was doing it and Peter says, oh, Lord, you'll never, ever wash my feet as long as the world stands. He was really emphatic about it. Lord, I'm not going to let you wash my feet. And Jesus says this to him. If I don't wash you, Peter, you don't have any part with me. Now, why did the Lord single out Peter in this particular instance? Well, we know that not long after this, Peter came into a place of temptation where he became a coward. He was afraid of the people around him and he ended up denying the Lord. So Jesus knew what was ahead for Peter. He said, Peter, Satan has desired to have you and to sift you like you're in a sieve. Oh, that was a pretty scary thing, you know. But Jesus said this, I have prayed for you that your faith does not fail. That's a wonderful thing too. But when we're in a place where we feel rocky, you know, faith is a strange thing, isn't it? Sometimes you can wake up in the morning and feel, wow, I can do anything for the Lord today. I feel absolutely on top of the world. And then the next day you wake up and you think, is there really a God up there? Yeah. Faith is a strange thing. It goes up and down. It's in and out like the weather, like the English weather. Okay, one day it's this, one day and the other, another day it's that. But Jesus, he's the constant in our salvation. He's the great constant. Why is the world like it is today? Because he's the constant. Isaiah 41 verse 4. I am he who calls the generations from the beginning. He calls each generation into being. I am of a certain generation. And there are others in this room who are of another generation. And you're here because God has called your generation into being. That you should glorify him. And that you should, he should demonstrate his love for you. His perfect, abundant, precious, personal, exemplary, overpowering love for you. Hallelujah, in your life. That's a wonder of Jesus, isn't it? That's a wonder of Jesus. There's no end to his love. There's no end to his love. And he wanted Peter in his embrace. Peter, I want you in my embrace. I want you connected to me. I want you with me. And Satan wants to have you, but I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And we know that after Peter had denied the Lord turned and looked on him, and that look broke his heart. And where the look of Jesus is, that's where you're soft with Jesus. Where the look of Jesus has been upon your life, that's where you melt inwardly and your heart dissolves to tears at the thought of him suffering for you. And he looked on Peter and Peter was melted and his heart was broken. I want to say this morning, Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. If there's anyone in this room who has a broken heart, Jesus came to heal your broken heart. That's Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. So he comes to Peter and said, Peter, you need to let me wash you. And of course, when Jesus says, you can't have any relationship with me unless I wash you. Peter says, well, okay, Lord, not just my feet then, but my hands and my head. This is why Jesus loved Peter, I think. He said, I'm all in, Lord, I'm all in. I want to be, if you want me, I want you absolutely. And the Lord loves to see that response from our hearts. And Peter, the Lord used a special word here. If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Now, it's a different word from verse 6. Lord, are you washing my feet? That's one Greek word, which the word you use for washing your hands, and we're all used to washing our hands, aren't we? But here the Lord says, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet. And that's the distinction is there in this English version. He who is bathed, Jesus says, I need to give you a bath, a complete bath. What was Jesus talking about? Well, we know from Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, there's a song in heaven from the mouth of all those who love the Lord, and the song rises up day and night, unto him who has loved us and washed us in his own blood. Unto him be glory forever, amen. You know that song, we sing it, don't we? Unto him who has loved us and washed us from sin, unto him be the glory forever, amen. There has to be first the washing in the precious blood of Jesus. The precious blood of Jesus has to cleanse our hearts from sin. And God does that by a dynamic miracle inside each one of us. As we come to him and yield our hearts to him and confess our sins to him, Jesus comes himself. He doesn't entrust the work to any angel. It's not certainly no man can do this. He comes with his own precious blood and he washes our hearts clean from sin. Glory to his wonderful name. Do you know that liberty this morning? Have you had that liberation where Jesus has set you free from all your sins? And you're conscious that you have a clear conscience before God. That's a very precious thing. So that's the first washing. We need to be washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. Have our sins taken away. And then once we're washed, there's another bath takes place. And if you want to come with me, you can come to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, if you want to find it. And I'll read it to you for the sake of time. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. No, verse 4. Okay, Titus chapter 3, verse 4. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour towards man appeared. When did that love appear? When did that kindness appear? It came in the person of Jesus. God was manifest in the flesh and dwelt amongst us, full of grace and truth. When the kindness and love of God our Saviour towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration. That's the same word. The washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour. Dearly beloved, have you received that washing from the Lord? You may have had your sins cleansed away. You may have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be conscious of his presence in your life, as I was conscious for a few years after I gave my heart to him. But I was also conscious of a certain lack in my life where I needed God to come and fill me and take over every part of me. And I believe that's what this verse is talking about. A washing where God regenerates us. Yes, that initial washing of the Holy Spirit has to take place to make us Christians. We have to be born from above to be Christians. We can't do it of ourselves. It's not through going to church, not through Bible reading, not through many prayers, but it's a simple committal of our life to Jesus Christ, as we've heard, and the yielding of our lives to him. That means bowing the knee to the King and saying, Lord Jesus, I want to be your liege man forever. I want to be your liege woman forever. As Prince Charles did before the Queen, which we've seen many times on our TVs, I'm sure. I'll be your liege man forever. We bow the knee to Jesus Christ and he comes by his regenerating spirit and he makes us his own. Glory to his wonderful name. That has to happen in each one of us, beloved. Sometimes we don't realize, there's not the realization of the fullness of this salvation. Jesus wants to actually fill us over and over and over again with his Holy Spirit. We read that of Peter in the book of Acts. There are times when the Holy Spirit, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then another day he was filled again with the Holy Spirit. And how we need the Holy Spirit in this day to fill us and equip us and empower us for the work of God which he's given us to do. And then something else happens. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this relates to what we heard in that word of prophecy a little earlier. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 and verse 13. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Christ is one body. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free men, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Ah, this is a wonder. This is a wonder. The church is not an organization, it's an organism. It has many members, but only one body, and the body is Christ. And by his Holy Spirit, when we yield our lives to the Lord and we're regenerated by the Spirit of God, we are baptized into the body of Christ. That's the place that's a safe place. That's the place where God holds us in his arms forever. Because who can take Christ away from God? No one. Nothing. Satan doesn't even come near God's throne. Glory to God. Glory to his wonderful name. We are given a safe place in Christ. And God wants each one of us to come into that place and be there with him. Have you let Jesus do that for you? Have you let Jesus into every part of your life where you're conscious that, yeah, God's touched me here. Lord, there's this, or maybe you wake up one day and you're suddenly conscious, oh Lord, I just need you in this part of my life. Please come and do your work in me here. Whether it's in my speech or it's in my eyes, what I look at, whether my speech, the way I talk, the tone of my voice, or whether it's where I go, the things I do, the habits I've had in my life. Lord, please come and touch me here. Come and fill me here. And in the filling of Christ, there is deliverance from everything that has held us prisoner. Blessed be his wonderful name. And there's another washing as well. And Ephesians 5, 25 and 26 says this. Jesus gave himself for the church. He loved the church. Jesus loved the church. Oh, let that sink into your ears this morning. Jesus loves the church, and he gave himself for her that she might be pure and holy and without spot, and that he might wash her with the word. Oh, hallelujah. That he might wash her with the word. As we listen to the word of God, as we meditate on the word of God, as we let the word of God speak to us, as we come together in meetings, as we sing our hymns, as we pray, listen to prayers, and let the word of God come to us, it washes us. It washes us. And how we need that washing. Walking the streets of Asia, you wear flip-flops or sandals, and everywhere you go there's dust, absolute dust. If it ain't dust, it's mud. And soon enough your feet need washing. And if you go to somebody's house, you go to a Thai house, you take your shoes off and leave them at the door, and then if it's a really bad day, there'll be a bowl of water at the door where you can wash your feet and just go in clean. And that's how the Lord is to us too. He did this for the disciples to show them. He said, you're clean, but you still need to, yes, you need to wash your feet. You're in a world that's unclean. You're in a world that's rebelling against God. You're in a world that has all sorts of temptations this way and that way. And day by day they come to us, and the evil one might come with a certain temptation. And we need to wash our feet. We need to come to Jesus and say, Lord, please make me clean. And as we do that, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a wonderful Saviour. And then lastly, back in John 13, verse 12, Jesus says this, do you know why I have done this? Well, we have clues, yes, we have clues. He's the Lord of glory, but he was willing to humble himself. to become a man, to be clothed in human flesh, to come through a pure woman without a human father, but through a human mother. He humbled himself and he came into the world and he lived as a man and he worked as a carpenter for 20 odd years. He got his hands dirty and he lived a normal human life, and then for 3.5 years he preached the word of God and did wonderful miracles for so many people, and then they killed him. We are complicit in that because we are of the race of Adam, and our sins killed him too. And he died on the cross for your sins and for my sins. The cross stands at the point of time and eternity. It happened in time, but it is for all eternity. Glory to his wonderful name. And the efficacy of that cross, the effect of that cross, is real for you and me today, beloved. And Jesus said this, yeah, I've come to... Yeah, he demonstrates his humble love to us, and it's that love he will show to us right to the end, from the cradle to the grave. In my own family this week, the one before, a man who was nearly 100 years old passed away, and a baby was born, almost on the same day, in my family. That's the wonder of the life we're in. That's the wonder of God, isn't it? God calls the generations into being, and he gathers us in his arms, and he shields us, and he takes us here, and he takes us there, and he gives us a multitude of experiences, and we're on a great adventure with him. We're on a great journey with him. Hallelujah. And Jesus is in front of us, and he's walking ahead of us, and we don't know where he's going, but we can trust him with all of our hearts and all of our life. Hallelujah. Because he's faithful and he's true, and he never tells a lie, never told a lie in his life, and he did what he said he came to do. He paid the price for our sins, and then he rose again from the dead, and he lives to give us his life today. Glory to his wonderful name. And he says, now you get up and do the same. You get up and do the same. You show humble love to people around you. You speak blessing into their lives. You go and heal the brokenhearted by taking my word to them, by sitting with them, by weeping with them when they're weeping. Go and do the same. Go and show the homeless in Liverpool or on the streets of whatever city or town that I love them and I have a place for them. Go and do that. Listen to the voice of the Lord. This is what the Lord said to us, wasn't it? Through that prophecy too. Listen to my voice. You know, God doesn't give it to everybody to go and minister to the homeless. But he gives you something to do that is special for you, because he loved you before the world began, and he appointed a place for you that you should glorify him in the thing that he gives you to do. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. He's wonderful. Is he wonderful? Yeah. Amen. So he says, now you. Okay, I've showed you what to do. Now go and do it. And Paul picks it up. Peter picks it up. Okay, so Peter says this. 1 Peter 1:22. Now, brethren, go and love each other with a pure heart fervently. Let your love burn. Let your hearts be burning in love for one another, but let it be pure love. See what you can, that's 1 Peter 1:22. 1 Peter 3, verse 8, he says this, 1 Peter 3:8, finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion one for another, love as brothers and sisters, I'm adding that, sisters, be tender-hearted, be courteous. Isn't that lovely? Be courteous. I love some of the old films, Pride and Prejudice, where a man comes in and he, yeah, there's something nice about that. Well, of course, in Asia, in the East where we lived, you do that. And there's something very courteous about that as well. Be courteous to one another, be compassionate, be full of that love, because when the regenerating Spirit of God comes into our hearts, the love of God comes in as well. And Paul says the love of Christ compels us. Because we consider this, that if one died for all, Jesus died for the whole mankind, then, hallelujah, the love of Christ compels us to go and tell them, yeah, look, Jesus died for you, friend. Jesus, he loves you, friend. Why don't you just open your heart to him and come to him, turn away from the lifestyle you got and just come and embrace his lifestyle. He'll put in you a new lifestyle, and he will enable you to live according to the pattern that he wants you to live. So it's not you, but it's Jesus in you. Jesus in me, living his life out through you and me. Have compassion, be full of pity, be full of courtesy to one another. Speak blessing, speak love, speak kindness. And if you ask the Lord, what do you want me to do, Lord? How can I express your love today to someone who doesn't know you, or who needs someone in your family, your blessed holy family, church family, who needs to hear a word, something from you today that will bless them and encourage them? Yeah, Lord, please show me what to do. Amen. Yeah, let's pray, shall we? Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Lord. Lord, we bow before your amazing love and grace to us. And Lord, I want to open our hearts to you and say, Lord Jesus, please come and take us as we are and use us as you will. Lord, but we do bow the knee to you, our gracious, loving, heavenly King. Pray, Lord, that you would come, invest our lives with your meekness, and help us, Lord, to follow you humbly day by day in this world in which we live. For your glory we pray. Amen.